Create Your Own Life, episode 32.
Hey, this is John Lee Dumas, founder and host of EO Fire, and you're listening to the Create Your Own Life podcast with Jeremy Ryan Slate. Prepare to ignite.
This episode is also brought to you by HostGator. It's the best hosting platform out there and enables you to host all of your domains for less than $4 per month. It also includes email hosting, which if you're a bootstrapping entrepreneur is a must. Check out HostGator today at www.jeremyryanslate.com/hosting.
Hey, what is up, Life Creation Nation? Jeremy Ryan Slate here with episode number 32 of the Create Your Own Life podcast. And welcome to today's show, everybody. Hope you have enjoyed the two-part episode we had earlier this week with David Breyer and Justin Matthew. They were totally awesome. But moving on to today, I am super excited for who we have today. We have with us the author of Disrupt You, Jay Samet. And he's a really cool guy because it just seems like everything important that's happened in technology and media in the last 20 to 30 years, Jay has been a part of. He's been with Sony. He's been with Uvu. He's been with eBay. He has worked on the President's Initiative for Education, helping to get internet in a lot of schools. It's just incredible what this guy has done. So you guys are really going to enjoy a lot of what Jay has to talk about today. And he's going to talk about disruptions in the media and how disruption businesses can really change a lot of things. So I am really excited to get that for you guys today. Without further ado, our interview with Jay Samet. So Jay Samet, welcome to the Create Your Own Life podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So Jay, I actually discovered you through your book, Disrupt You, which I really, really enjoyed reading. And I kind of wanted to start out with, what is a media disruptor?
Well, media or any disruptor is somebody that changes the world in a way that after it happens, it can't go back to the way it was. So my favorite example is, you know, in the Bronze Age, we started making knives, and then in the Iron Age, they became swords, and swords became longer, and kingdoms were one with them. And then one day you have Indiana Jones in the streets of Cairo, and the big Arab swordsman's waving the big scimitar, and a guy pulls out the Smith & Wesson and goes, boom. Okay, that's disruption. The world of the sword is over. And so when you look at Uber and having the world's largest taxi company and owning no cars, or Airbnb, the largest hotel company, owns no hotels, those are major disruptors.
Awesome. And I think something that I've heard you talk about before, I actually listened to an awesome interview with you on The Art of Charm, is the comparison between innovation and disruption. Can you explain what the difference between those two are?
So innovation, back to the sword example, is that incremental change, right? So You made the first horse wagon, and then you said, you know, if we put suspension on the wheels, it'll be a nicer ride. And then you made a little, you know, Surrey on top, and it's a wonderful wagon. And then Henry Ford just passes you in the fast lane, and you go, you know, that's disruption. You know, no matter how good you make that leather saddle on the horse, it's not going to be the same.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I think a lot of people not being able to get disruption done, we see these artificial limits that we set on ourselves that you talked about in your book. You know, how does that happen, and how does self-disruption work?
So everybody wants to change the world, and yet no one thinks that it begins with changing themselves. So when we're young, we are really not raised to be told that we're infinite like the universe. We're constantly reinforced of what we can't do. Sure. You're bad at math. You can't public speak. You can't be a leader. You can't, you can't, you can't. And if you hear it enough from your teachers and parents and everyone around you, you actually start internalizing these things. You then take these Myers-Briggs and other BS tests that tell you your personality is X. You can only be, I haven't said this in an interview. I took one of those tests in high school, you know, your career, and they told me I should be a truck driver, which sounded like a fun job. But it was just so bizarre that people want to put you in a box, when anybody that changed the world, led a company, led a nation, didn't follow the path of anyone else. They started with the only two things you need to succeed: an idea and drive. Everything else can be hired. I've been involved in and responsible for some of the biggest technical innovations of the past 30 years, from the first video on a computer to video games to multi-party video chat to the first auction to all these amazing technologies used by billions of people. I've never written a line of code.
Mm.
Steve Jobs never wrote a line of code. The point is, you don't have to be a technological genius to take technology to the next level. You're using it right now to podcast. Everybody wakes up with the power of CNN in their hand. Their basic smartphone connects them to 6 billion people. So if you think about it, you are 1 nanosecond, 1 click away from 6 billion people. If you're only right once, you're a billionaire.
Wow.
And that's why we have so many billionaires in their 20s. We have the majority of the world's self-made. I mean, majority of the world's billionaires are self-made, more than 70%. And you now have every month a 20-something-year-old that becomes a billionaire. And many of them never made a penny of profit. So the world is accelerating at this amazing pace. And you can either say, oh my God, all these problems, how can I compete? Or you can go, wow, this is the greatest time to be alive. All those obstacles are actually opportunities to create new businesses.
Mm. Awesome. And I think that one of the things I've heard you speak about before is people getting stuck on this concept of security versus ambition.
Yes. Know? So when we went to school, and I bought into the social contract, get good grades, study hard, go to a good university, got great grades, missed one on my SAT. I mean, poster boy for following the rules. And I came out with, you know, this resume that said my GPA on it right into a recession, and no one cared. No one was hiring. And the few jobs there were wanted people with 10 years experience. And how do you get 10 years experience if no one will hire you and you get in that catch 22? So I had children young, and I was there as a young father saying, I got to do something. So I didn't set out to be a disruptor or an entrepreneur. I printed up some business cards, made up a company called Jasmine Productions, J. Allen Salmon, and it's mine. And I walked around trying to compete with George Lucas's Industrial Light and Magic, who did Star Wars, to be the poor man's special effects company.
Mm.
Now, there is no company, there is no technology, there's just Jay with $1 worth of business cards. And I very quickly signed up hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of business.
Wow.
And then you have to go, oh, I got to hire people that know how to do this. And you can always hire great people that want that security. And the falsehood of security robbing ambition is it's not that there's really a secure job. Whether by choice or circumstance, I guarantee everyone listening to this, their career will be disrupted. And when that happens, when you lose your job, and you really can't lose your job, it's not a set of car keys. When you lose your job, it's because you chose to make yourself disposable, dispensable, something that could be replaceable. Whereas if you went out to create your own opportunity, you can make yourself the best of the world at what you do. And that's really the difference. So you gave away all the security. You traded a day of your life for a job, 5 years of your life, 10 years of your job. Why? If you don't believe in reincarnation, you got one shot. So the purpose of life is really to have a life filled with purpose, to go on and create something. I mean, you and I will not be here forever, Jeremy, but what we create can. And when you start thinking in those terms, what will we do with this gift of life, with this time? And it's the most existential of questions. And you know, when I was just down giving a speech to 1,000 people in a ballroom, noisy the whole bit, and I ask one question, and you can hear a pin drop after the question, and it's, are you living life or just paying bills until you die?
Wow.
And if you really stop and be honest that you get in that hamster wheel, and worse, you're making the salary that you dreamt of, and now you can't live on it. You know, do you have freedom if you're a wage slave? And really, the opportunities are so amazing. And in Disrupt You, I got to meet so many people that make me feel humble and I'm wasting my time. You know, people finding cures for breast cancer while they're teenagers. I mean, amazing things, because you're one click away also from all the world's knowledge, all mankind's knowledge. So you could watch TV, or you could watch cats playing on the piano, or you could become the expert of what you choose to be.
Sure.
So when I, in my early 20s, said I can do this and made that business card, I then fought years and decades to defend my turf of being the best at what I do. But look around you. You know that social media expert, that podcasting expert, that Internet of Things expert, that Bitcoin expert? Where'd they come from? They're not that different than young Jay printing the business cards. They claimed they were, and then they fought like hell to defend and grow that empire.
Wow.
Everyone can do that.
And that's so awesome, Jay, I've got to tell you, because that really speaks to the heart of what the purpose of this podcast is, you know, having people create something for themselves and not being stuck in this monotony and things. It comes from a conversation I had with my father a number of years ago. He went on to get into the higher level management of his company by staying there for 40 years and slowly moving through it. And we had a conversation one day where I was teaching high school and miserable. And I said, Dad, you know, I hate my job. I like learning. I like teaching things, but I hate my job. He goes, well, son, you're supposed to hate your job. And then 40 years from now, you can enjoy it when you get to retire. And I was like, well, that's no way to live. You know, I really want to create my life. And that totally speaks to what you're talking about, Jay.
And too many people give up on their dreams by listening to people that gave up on theirs. You know, so it's really, you're getting many times advice from people that didn't pursue. And I will tell you what he said, that you'll enjoy it 40 years from now. Actually, it's the opposite. Go talk to people in senior citizen homes, and they will tell you that they have more regrets for the things they didn't try than the things that they tried and failed at. Because there's no shame in failing. Failing is the creative process. Failing is the scientific method. You know, our symbol for genius is that light bulb, because Edison tried 10,000 ways that didn't work until he found one that worked. Okay? It's not like, oh, here's Jay giving you this great story and his books about everything was rosy. No, I just kept on going at bat endlessly. And if you go to bat more than everybody else, you'll hit it out of the park. It's just odds. So Disrupt You was really written in three parts. The first third was the internal process, because if you keep on doing what you've been doing, you're going to get the same results. It seems obvious, and yet people get in these, you know, hamster wheel lives. So how to self-disrupt, how to perform plastic surgery and hold the scalpel yourself and really, you know, be honest. And once you see how easy it is to change yourself, something that you thought was malleable and you are the way you are, then the second third goes through every type of business, from research to marketing to restaurants to the tons of industries that I've worked with, to really show you the secret tips of how to disrupt an industry and how to focus not on the whole value chain, but where value can be captured. And then my favorite part of the book of Disrupt You is the last third, which, if you're not money motivated, the world has a lot of problems. All that an entrepreneur is somebody that solves problems. So solving world problems will make you very wealthy. So how to look at the big issues and how to apply the same techniques that you apply to yourself or your career to global warming, education, access to water, healthcare, whatever is your passion. You're now connected. The cost of launching a business is 95% cheaper than it was in the year 2000. All the tools are available. You just have to connect the dots and find those that will support you.
Absolutely. Well, let's kind of backtrack to that first part of the book. And you put a lot of focus on people finding their purpose. You know, what kind of advice can you give our audience for an idea of finding how they can find that purpose? I think a lot of people struggle with that.
So I have a basic exercise that everybody that's actually done it sends me emails. And I got to tell you, the best part of writing a book in the 21st century is I love hearing from readers, because whether I deserve it or not, they give me credit for changing their lives. You have problems in your life, Jeremy. Today, I want you to write down three problems you see just in your life. And do this every day for a month. Because the first few days, it's kind of easy. God, the traffic this morning, I missed my flight, whatever it might be. But as the month goes on, you're going to have to look at what you didn't assume was a problem and you thought was rigid and concrete and the way it is, right? And at the end of this month, you'll have 90 ideas. You'll have more deal flow than the biggest venture capital firm. And then look at which one of those speaks to you and you believe other people have. So I had a person come up to me from the audience that had a really clever idea that's now taken off like crazy. Wait a second. Did I take my medicine? Common question. That's a problem people have. So the phone rang. Did I take it before the call? Didn't I? You never know. So I took one of those little Happy Meal watches, those little 6 cent little watches, and you put it on the lid of a pill bottle. And every time you close it, it starts the countdown clock.
Wow.
So you look at your pill bottle and go, oh, it's been 4 minutes. Yes, I took it. Oh, it's been 8 hours. No, I didn't. Do you realize efficacy of prescription drugs is the single biggest healthcare issue. If everybody followed the prescriptions, they get healthier now. And now that we have nationalized healthcare, that's a multi-billion dollar cost to taxpayers if we can get it right. So he is now taking that idea, and we brainstormed, and he's now going and getting legislation to make this mandatory on pill bottles.
Wow.
Because it'll save society billions of dollars in healthcare costs and make him a billionaire. Now, did he invent the watch? No. Did he invent the pill bottle? No. Did in one of those 30 days, did he sit there and say, oh yeah, a lot of people don't know if they remembered to take their pill. It's that simple.
Wow. And one of the things you've talked about in, to touch on what you just said is daily problems lists. And I think as a concept, disruption makes a lot of sense, but I think some people struggle with how to put that into action. You know, how do you use a daily problems list to really make these great ideas?
So first you come up with what your idea might be, and then you got to find 10 potential customers, people that would use it. Not that you're asking for a nickel from them, but you want to say, if I can solve this problem in your life, would you benefit? And they go, oh, absolutely. I'd be the first one in line to buy it. It's the basics of Kickstarter. You're going on Kickstarter or any crowdfunding and say, if I make this, anybody raising their hand that they'd want to buy it? And if no one raises your hand, maybe it's not the best idea. So you work with those people. And in the process, what you'll find out is not that your idea was good. Mm. Your idea actually sucks. Okay?
Wow.
Everybody's goal should not be to nurture their idea to build a business. And this is where people get it wrong. It's how fast can you kill your idea? And if you can kill your idea and go to 10 potential customers to keep on telling you what's wrong with it, you're peeling away all the things and plugging the holes and changing and tacking, kind of like sailing across an ocean. You're not going in a straight line. You're constantly answering every problem that they find in your solution until you end up at this point with what I call a zombie idea, an idea that can't be killed.
Mm.
That's when you go out to raise capital. That's when you go out to the market, because it didn't cost you anything to get to that point. Too many people say, oh, my idea is so good, I'm going to go out to the market, and boom. Then they learn all the stuff, but they've used their money to build their app or to open their restaurant or to, you know, design their product. When in fact, you can do all those iterations for free and then hit the market.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I think that, especially you mentioned Kickstarter, that's really changed the way businesses are launched. You know, venture capital just doesn't seem to be, you know, all it's about anymore. It is Kickstarter and finding out if people are actually going to invest in it in that small way.
So somebody was thinking this past month, and crowdfunding is touching everything, and I was involved, a chairman of a company that pioneered crowdfunding commercial real estate. So you no longer go to banks for commercial loans. You cut the middleman. People put money in banks, and then banks lend out the money to people building buildings. Why not take the bank out and let the consumer get? So as obvious as that idea is, that spawned a lot of people thinking and whatever, and a new company just launched this month that was even more genius. Why do we get insurance? Let's just take car insurance, keep it simple. We get it in case that 1 in 1,000 chance we're in an accident, somebody has the money to pay for it, right?
Right.
Well, it's the same concept. You could crowdfund the concept, take out the insurance company. Everybody puts money in, and then when there's an accident or something, money comes out. And you can use the same actuarial tables, you can do the same math. You just take out the profit entity in the middle. Everyone gets the same amount of protection, and cost of insurance would go down by 80-90%.
Wow.
So yes, there's legalities around the finer points, but a company just launched doing that. And you'll be seeing many of these giant institutions. You know, banking hasn't changed in 400 years. You're going to see banking completely change. Bitcoin changes what a currency is, okay? Oh my God, I'm getting inflation. I have to make these bad investments because the worth of my dollar keeps on changing. Really? What if you had a currency that wasn't manipulated by any government anywhere? And I'm not getting political, but each country sets their currency based on what they believe is best for whoever's in charge. So the world is changing at this unbelievable pace, and it's opening up new opportunities because all this technology, all this data, all this interconnectedness didn't exist 5 years ago, which means that there's new things that you can do that you didn't think of. I'll tell you one of my favorite ones. 3D printing's wiping out 320 million manufacturing jobs.
Yes.
We grew up, my generation was the generation that came up with mass production, okay, and mass producing everything, and the whole world can have a Coke and a smile. 3D printing is about customizing needs. So getting back to a purpose, picture a little boy who's born without fingers on a hand, okay? He can't get a prosthetic hand because he's growing so fast that the cost at $70,000 or $100,000 or $200,000 for a prosthetic limb, he has to wait till he's 15, 16, 17 before he ever gets a prosthetic limb, which means his whole childhood, getting back to our earlier conversation, he's less than. He can't throw a ball with the kids. It changes his personality. It makes him withdrawn, whatever. Now you can 3D print same day a working hand for that child that they can play catch and do everything. But this particular entrepreneur took it one step further. They went to Disney. They explained their mission. And they said, can we license Star Wars, Marvel, Frozen? So the little girl can have a Frozen arm. Little boy can be Iron Man, or he can be a Jedi Knight. So now he's not less than. He's way cool. He's more than. He's the center of attention in a positive way. How does that one thing of launching a business, making 3D printed prosthetics, change people's lives? How good would that feel? Right? Mm-hmm. So that's the example of looking at problems in your life and saying, I want to tackle that one. There's my purpose.
That's awesome. Well, what do you see as being the biggest barrier to even to people or even industries and disruption?
So the biggest one is culturally, is most people are raised with the fear of failure. So what's interesting is when I do this global, and I've had the pleasure to meet with groups and talk and lecture from Mumbai to Moscow to everywhere in between. The U.S. doesn't have the best educational system. We do not have the best banking systems. We do not have the best of much left. But our cultural icons are Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
A typical Simpson episode is he has a get-rich-quick scheme. It blows up, and then life goes on. Well, I Love Lucy was the same storyline, and The Honeymooners was the same storyline. So part of the American ethos of being a nation of immigrants, of explorers, of people that didn't settle, they tried something new, is no fear of failure. So if you can get over that fear of failure, you're halfway there, okay? It doesn't matter what other people think, right? Every company that I've been brought into, that I've taken over or done, people always look like, I guess Jay's career is over. This is the dumbest thing we've ever heard of. And then a few years later, like, oh yeah, I always thought that was a great idea. I was going to do it. And that's just the way people are. And so in businesses, it's even worse. There's two types of businesses in the way I see the world. Those where the founder's still there and everybody else. Hmm. So Bill Gates built Microsoft into a huge, dominant, biggest company, richest man in the world.
Right.
The definition of success. He was still in charge when he realized, oops, I was so busy shipping software and solving the PC-centric world, I missed the internet. So one day he reassigned one-third of all Microsoft's worldwide workforce to think about the internet. Now imagine if he wasn't there and it was a bureaucracy like every other big company. There's no CEO of a public company that can go to the board and go, I decided to take a third of our people to work on something new.
Mm-hmm.
That's so what's the problem
Kodak had when they tried the digital camera.
Yeah, so they tried to kill it. So what basically happens is big companies are fighting last year's battles over and over again. They see their competition as the same companies that they used to compete with. And so that gives tons of opportunities for the small entrepreneur to go in and develop something. And you think, oh, the second they notice me, I'm dead. I have a friend who had same insight, same looking at problems, but he was looking that nobody tied their dog up in the backyard anymore. Dogs were in the house. Dogs were part of the family. And he said to himself, I bet you people would rather serve a member of the family a quality food compared to what you'd serve a barnyard animal. And so he invented the idea of premium dog food. And his wholesale cost of his product was more than the retail price of the competitors. They laughed at him. Like, you're never going to sell a single one of these things. And when he sold Iams dog food to Procter & Gamble for $2 billion, and he was the sole owner, never took a dime of investment, had no shareholders, had no partners, nobody laughed, right? So Now, it was a long journey between those two points of figuring out what makes a premium dog food and what is healthy. It was a whole category. Nobody had ever cared about the health of pets. So there are millions of these opportunities. And get out of your office, get out of your desk, do something you've never done before to see the world like you've never seen it before, and you'll achieve that which you never knew you could.
Wow. Well, I feel like this next question is a little bit more of a difficult one because it's very big picture. What do you see as the most major disruption in history?
Wow. So lots of people go into the easy ones, the wheel, electricity. There's so many, but I really have to come down to the printed word. The second that you went from oral storytelling, you know, Gilgamesh and these long, the Iliad, long rhyming poems so people could remember. The fact that education went from, so 500 years ago, the most educated person in the world was that who could remember the most.
Mm-hmm.
In the Islamic countries, they have contests of who can recite the Quran from beginning to end. And these little kids have amazing minds of memorization. But that was because otherwise the knowledge would be lost. That isn't thinking, that's memorization. The second we got to written language, my book is in all original thoughts. I'm taking things that were written hundreds of years ago and building upon them. There's no one alive that knows all of the field of mathematics. It's so complex, or all the field of biology. So the second we got to written language, that to me was the game changer. And that, by the way, is the sole differentiation between us and the other animals, because they have language, they can communicate, but they can't write it down.
Wow. And the next thing I wanted to ask you is something I usually ask people their favorite project they work on, but it just seems like, Jay, every time I look at something, you have your hand in it. There was eBay. There was bringing internet into schools. You've done so many things. What is your favorite project you've worked on?
So the honest answer is all the ones that never happened, right? Right. Everybody looks at it as success, but if they knew all the failures that I just couldn't convince one more person or one more vote or one more whatever to make happen. So it's like asking which is your favorite child. They all have been part of the journey and all have been so much fun. Yeah. Is there nothing more amazing than getting, you know, a phone call from the president of the United States asking you to change our society or working with the Pope? Yeah, you sit there and you pinch yourself and then you get off the phone and go, uh-oh, how am I going to do this? You don't want to let down the White House, you know, those types of things. But I've just been so blessed to work with so many creative minds. I'm so inspired that it makes me feel like I haven't done anything when I look at what others are able to give back. And that's why I've dedicated this last, hopefully, third of my life to trying to teach people how to do it. If we can get on my soapbox for 2 seconds, let's talk about the big problems in the world right now. You got the Greek economy and the Spain economy. You've got our inner cities, the problems in Ferguson, the problems in Baltimore. And then you have things like ISIS. These are not issues of race, religion, or culture. That's how those in power want to keep us divided. What it really is massive unemployment for millennials.
Mm-hmm.
We have 2.3 billion people in one generation. That is more people than were on the planet when my parents were born. There will not be company jobs. There will not be the gold watch. There will not be retirement and pensions for those 2.3 billion. So if you take young people with nothing to lose and you wave crazy things, crazy stuff happens. But if we can teach people and empower them and show them that you can live anywhere and be connected to people and customers everywhere, the world has never had so much opportunity for those willing to work for it. You can have it all. You just can't have it all at once.
Wow. Wow. Well, Jay, and we're going to shift gears a little bit as we're coming in for a landing, and I have some rapid fire questions for you.
Okay.
Uh-oh. I find people are very interested in how successful people spend the first few hours of their day. Do you have a morning ritual?
Before my feet are on the ground, I'm going through email, texts, everything else. I have employees in 20 countries around the world and customers in 70. So the world never stops. I'd love to say I exercise regularly, but that would be lying. I'd like to exercise regularly. Most mornings, it's racing to an airport. I do hundreds of thousands of miles a year. So that's pretty much my morning routine.
Awesome. Well, do you have a quote that's led you through all your success?
Imagination is the key that sets me free, Harry Houdini. You have this gift of imagination. I don't know what animals do, but we get to see and think and dream about things that don't exist. And then we can bring them into reality. If that isn't magic, I don't know what is.
That's awesome. Is there a book that's had a great effect on your life?
Very young, I got to read a book called The Peter Principle. And the basic essence is people rise to their level of incompetence. It's the exact opposite of what you were taught. So the example in the book is if you're a great teacher, you're so great, they make you principal. Well, a teacher's good with kids. A principal is about running teachers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're a good principal, then they send you to the school board, which is dealing with politics, not teachers. And now if you suck at any of these things, if you're a bad teacher or a bad principal or a bad school board, you'll stay there forever. So most people that you're dealing with are not in the job that they're best at, but actually the job that they're worst at. And the second you suddenly see the world opposite, you suddenly see how you can disrupt any structure.
Wow. It's funny because I was telling you before that I was a teacher, you know, many years back, and I was a sociology teacher, so I dealt with the Peter Principle. Awesome. What's the greatest difficulty you've struggled with as an entrepreneur?
In the early days, lack of capital and inability to communicate. When I was young and knew everything, before I got gray hair and knew nothing, when I was young, I would leave a meeting, why don't they get it? Why don't they get it? I'm so right. You know, this is the next thing. Can't you see it, you morons, right? And what I realized with age is the toughest challenge for anyone is to explain to people living in the past what you believe the future to be.
Wow.
And if you can see it from their perspective, go into every meeting from the other person's perspective. You don't have to solve for the whole company. You don't have to solve for the whole world. If you can just solve the problem of the person across the table, everything happens.
Wow, that's awesome. If you could give one piece of advice to your younger self, what would that be?
Earplugs. As you know, I ran rock and roll labels and went to many, many concerts without earplugs, and I'm paying for it now. Kids, wear earplugs. Get the iPod earplugs out of your ears. Ears are not supposed to be tortured.
You heard that piece of advice from Jay, everybody. Please get yourself some earplugs. Well, the last question I have for you, Jay, is something that's really deeply important to me, and that's that people have different definitions of success. What is success for you?
Happiness. And the simple truth, and you control your own happiness. No one else does. You can wake up happy. You can look at the world happy. You know, effectuation, the power of positive thinking, makes the whole world an opportunity. And if you find happiness, it'll deliver success. Money doesn't make you happy. I've met suicidal billionaires. I've met miserable billionaires. I've met people that you go, what could they be unhappy about? One of the most famous men in the world this past year was in a horrible funk because of this, that, and the other thing. And the rest of the world would go, you're kidding me. What doesn't this person have? What they don't have is internal peace. So start each day and just say these two things, and I guarantee your life will change. One is, today can be better than yesterday, and I have the power to make it so.
Wow, that is awesome. Well, Jay, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. You offered us so much great advice. You mentioned you have a gift for our listeners, and also where can they connect with you?
Sure. So you can follow me on Twitter. There's 100,000 people. I give daily motivation and business stuff at Jay Sammet, my name. My website is jaysammet.com. And if you go there, I value your time as much as you do. I have a 40-page companion workbook to Disrupt You that helps you do exercises to find your purpose, to synthesize your ideas. And I will send that to every one of your listeners for free. Just go to the website, jaysammet.com, and I will email you the book workbook.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on today, Jay.
Thanks. It was a privilege.
Awesome, Life Creation Nation. Jay Sammet totally rocked the show today. Hope you guys are ready to go out there and disrupt some things. And if you want to get that workbook that Jay mentioned, which I highly recommend you do, there is going to be a link in the show notes. You're going to fill out a contact form on Jay's page. In the subject line, you're going to put in workbook. And guys, let's be ready to go disrupt some stuff. So I hope you guys had an awesome week with the show. Be sure to be with us next week. Looking forward to it. Rock on, everybody. Have an awesome weekend.
So I just want to let you guys in on a little secret that tripled our social media following in just 7 days. Social media can be a huge asset to promoting your brand or product and is part of doing business in a new millennium. It is time to start. iBoom Media, founded by Justin Matthew, not only gets real followers, but real results. Call iBoom today at 877-223-9552 or go to www.iboommedia.com.